Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Warm up the grill, grab a beverage, and paint your face.
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
This is Danny and Dusty on Wildcard Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday. How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Today is, you know, start of a new season, right? Put football season behind us.
Mm, is it basketball season for you now?
It's basketball season. Mm. It's basketball season. I start the season coaching the third, fourth grade team today. Let's go. I can't.
Good Lord.
I don't know if I'm going to be more Bobby Knight.
Mm.
You know, I want to be more of a player's coach. I don't know how this is going to go.
Well, or do you have the liquor store or the liquor cabinet fully stocked and be more like Bob Huggins?
Well, I don't think we're going to... Little Huggy Bear, make them run on a treadmill on the side every time they commit a turnover in practice?
Just don't go out and get the Deweys, that's all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mildly problematic.
I think that's a start when coaching third, fourth grade basketball, yeah. Rust.
Well, I mean, that is quite literally the way that Mighty Ducks first started.
Actually, yeah.
Everybody kind of dismisses that.
When you turn that movie on, I don't think you are quite ready as an adult for how Gordon Bombay actually became the coach of the Mighty Ducks. District 5.
Yes. He was assigned to them for getting a Dewey.
Yep. And he did not want to do it. It was court ordered coaching. And Disney's like, you know what? Franchise this.
Yeah, right.
We are not going to have one. We're not going to have two. We're going to have three Mighty Ducks movies.
And it worked wonderfully.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
for Emilio.
Yeah. This is it right now.
I'm not going to lie. I have to admit something here.
Mm.
Never seen any of them.
You're kidding. No. How did you avoid them?
I was just a little too old when they came out, just a couple years ahead of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I was in on it. I mean, look, I think every kid ended up getting some rollerblades. That was D2, Mighty Ducks Are Back,
oh, yeah.
where they defended our great nation against those a-holes from Iceland.
Greenland is covered in ice, but Iceland is very nice.
That's right. That's okay, so right.
92. Yeah, so I was in high school when it came out.
I mean, still.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
It wasn't like we had streaming services back then.
Yeah, but that's probably about 4 years or so too old, I would imagine, at that point.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But it got me into thinking I was going to be a hockey player.
Were you thinking like you were Kenny Wu?
No.
No?
Figure skater?
No.
A figure skater?
I mean, who are you thinking here?
Because
you weren't Bash Bros.
No. If I'm being quite honest, it was Charlie, right? Where I don't have the hockey skills.
Mm.
I don't have the hockey skills. Wasn't too keen on Gordon Bombay hooking up with my mom, but you know, I was open to it if that was the hockey route I was going to take.
That's how you got on. Okay.
Yeah.
So you weren't Adam Banks. You weren't a cake eater.
No, I wasn't Adam Banks because I knew he was far too skilled.
Mm.
Yeah, if anything, I probably would have been. What was that kid's name? Who calls him the cake eater? The twins. I probably would have been one of those two.
There you go.
You know.
Yeah.
One of those guys who were just
The fact that I have those names, like, if you had asked me to name
Goldberg
those,
was a fan favorite, but I obviously was not Goldberg.
Also, see, there's Spear and Fools.
Yeah, things went dark, but turned around.
Yeah.
Turned around. TMZ report saw that he got engaged recently.
Yeah,
good for Goldberg.
Yeah, because he was on a lot of drugs.
Yep.
Tough.
Yeah, that is
who's
tough.
Who's Ham from The Sandlot? Did you see the back off the tee guys, the country club adjacent guys? They hit him with a quack, 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 calling him Goldberg.
No.
Oh, it ruined him. He was like, oh, that's cold, man.
Yeah, no, I'm Ham. And if you want, don't go Ham, you go the goalie from the Mean Green. That's what he was.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
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 Just soccer classic.
He basically went all fat guys are the same.
Yeah, I feel like it really where I found my rhythm in the hockey player would have been is not from the original Mighty Ducks. It was D2, and it was the kid who played Benny the Jet Rodriguez in The Sandlot, who was the fast skater who couldn't stop.
Yeah.
That was more of who I envisioned my hockey career being like. I could skate fast, didn't have many skills, wasn't great at stopping either. Not a great stop. I was not a strong skater.
That's what the boards are for, right?
Yes, that was literally what he did.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that got me in actual, like, real life, I could rollerblade. Forward, backwards, you know, we went out to Skate World as a kid, had all the fun out there.
Oh, look at Big Danny. I could skate backwards.
No, like, it was functional. No, it worked. I was like, oh, this is, yeah, I get this. The second you put me on ice, gone. There is something about the friction.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It does not compute.
Yeah.
I spend so much time just falling endlessly.
Mm.
Can you ice skate? Like,
yeah, I can.
Can you?
I can ice skate.
It's just something.
Well, hold on.
Functional.
I should say this. I can stay up ice skating. Mm. I can skate backwards on ice skates.
Really?
Yeah.
It does not, did you use like the rental skates? Did you have I tried like the regular ones that you rent. I tried like the hockey skates that are like the thinner blades, like all of it. None of it worked for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I can go back now. I can blame my hips.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Maybe it was hip dexterity. It was your body telling you already.
Yeah.
I'm going to shut down on you.
This is not going to work.
You can't ice skate.
No. It's all in the hips.
It is all in the hips.
These hips
I tell
lie.
You what, it is hilarious. To go to the, whether it's a pop-up ice skating rink. We did this down in Los Angeles, in LA Live. They've got an ice rink right there in front of Crypto Arena, right? Watching people on ice skates and just baby deer it
bam!
Yeah. I could just sit there and watch that all day.
No,
it's hilarious. Yeah. It is hilarious. And then... there comes the moment where you go from laughing to being one of the folks that are on the skates out there, which is why I take pride on being able to stand up on skates.
Look, I still, to me, like the hardest sport, the hardest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball. I think we all agree that's the thing, right? The hardest sport to play is hockey.
Mm.
Because not only do you have to be able to do everything that you can do with a stick and a puck, which takes insane hand-eye coordination, also you have to be a world-class skater.
Yeah, you do.
Like, not an okay skater.
Yeah, what they're able to do on skates is mind-blowing.
a few years ago, we were in the old Namper, and we decided to kill some time and go do some roller skating, and that was the first time I'd been on roller skates since probably high school.
Mm-hmm.
It was not pretty.
You were in the what? Hold on. Can we go back to you were in the what?
In the old Namper, Idaho.
Oh. I was like, you were where?
I thought he said Namp. Like he was
going Namper. He said Namper, but I did not know My
country
Idaho.
Dialect like detector like popped up and was like, oh, he meant Nampa.
But yeah, no, I made it about 10, 15 minutes and I was like, I'm done. I'm not breaking a hip out here doing this.
We got a text on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. This text says, yeah, I've never seen any of those hockey movies either, but in the inner city of East Palo Alto wasn't a popular movie amongst the black folks. Mighty Ducks, that I quite literally believe that's why they made D2. And because D2, the Mighty Ducks are back, they went to
the inner city.
LA and they picked up Kenan Thompson, who was Russ, who shot the knuckle puck.
Knuckle puck, baby.
Yeah.
In
a pickup street hockey game. Yeah. The knuckle puck, yeah.
And the puck that they were playing with was really weird looking.
Yeah.
It had little knobs on it.
Yeah, that was your street hockey puck.
Yeah, I don't think that one lasted a long time.
Oh, no, that's how you played the street hockey because that's how the puck would roll.
Okay.
There were little balls on it. Balls. All over them.
Mark.
Market. Anyways, don't know how we got on Mighty Ducks, but here we are. Gordon Bombay. Yeah, my youth basketball coaching.
There you go. Because you got a DUI and had to coach too.
That's not true.
It's funny the scenic routes that we take to a conversation.
Boy, we got there. Boy, did we get there. We took an adventure there. But, yep. It's not going to be Gordon Bombay because I'm not forced to do it. I'm solely volunteering. This is not court ordered. I think I'm going to go Ron Swanson. I think, do I go out day one with the Swanson pyramid of success and just go, there are two acceptable haircuts, high and tight and crew cut. Maybe that's what I do.
Are you teaching
these young whippersnappers how to be a man?
The mild form of showing love where you just give them the little chest bump on the shoulder?
Look,
knuckle bump on the shoulder?
We are being quite honest. Players coach. Coach Dusty's a players coach. You know? We're going to have some fun. But season two starts now. It's basketball season. Let's go. Let's go. I'll keep everybody up to date on the record of the league that apparently doesn't keep score. So we're going to go there.
Oh, it's one of those?
I think, yeah. Yeah. But look.
Where do you fall on that?
Everybody knows the score.
Okay.
Everybody knows the score.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's one of the funny things is that, like, I remember T-ball games where you knew what the score was, guys. You know? Like, everybody knows. You don't have to put it up there, but they all know the score. Well, all those kids are keeping score in their head. They know exactly what is going on, but it's just not up on a scoreboard. That's how it works.
Which, again, I don't know. It feels weird.
You're in that embarrassment will last a long time, and you need to learn that embarrassment very quickly.
Yeah, no, I think it's
humbling to get blown out.
It sorts you out, man. It sorts you out real quick. Like, you know, it's you know, that pecking order matters. I think it is a motivational thing. It either motivates you to play another sport or, you know, you go, I want to get better.
Yeah, that's the thing about, like, I love the meme where it shows just, like, two kids lining up for the Oklahoma drill.
And
they're lining up head-to-head, and the meme says, this drill has made more basketball players than any other drill. And that's true.
It's 100% true.
That is true. You can't do that anymore.
No.
Like, you can't do the—and I will say— rightfully so.
I get it.
The game of football is a lot safer now that, I don't know, we don't watch crunch time and be like, that's how you tackle. Yeah. Or the Oklahoma drill, which is one-on-one, lead with your head, let's go, giddy up.
Yeah. But also, it did sort you out.
Yeah, but, I mean...
That is the closest thing we've ever had to a Harry Potter sorting hat in reality.
Yeah, that is.
Of anything ever.
No, you're not wrong.
You put that hat on for that one drill.
Mm-hmm.
You are in house basketball, or you're in house baseball, or you're in house football.
It's life changing. It really is.
It's like, nope.
I don't know how these young coach or youth coaches. How do you find linebackers these days? Because that was the number one drill. It's like, yep, linebacker.
You love this.
That one.
You come right here.
There. Linemen are easy. You're like, young man, we're going to have to put a stripe on your helmet. See you when you thin out.
Yeah. Maybe come eighth or ninth grade.
Yeah.
Depending on when everybody else catches up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you might be able to tote that rock.
Yeah. Yeah. I think every good youth football team needs an offensive line coach that teaches O-line culture, because that's when offensive linemen really...
Yeah. You buy in early.
Yeah.
You buy in early.
And the culture is often a little bit problematic because they are the most fun people to hang out with. They are my favorite people
but
to hang out with.
It's just absolute debauchery.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But, I mean, I think you start with, like, an O-line coach who's like, what'd you guys eat today?
Yeah.
You know? And you start those conversations. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it blossoms when they get older into, oh, boy, you guys are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing we do not have HR here.
Yes.
Because especially in college, those O-line rooms, it's always good to drop in on an O-line meeting. But before the meeting really gets underway, mm-hmm. you never come in at the end because that thing smells rancid afterwards. Because they're just in there eating and farting the entire time.
You got to let out the room farts.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get in there early, drop in, get your laughs, and then you're out. Because that place is going to stink in a hot minute. Oh, man. All right. Well, look at this. Third and fourth, Hillsboro football wasn't allowed to keep score, but we all definitely kept score, especially the parents. Bingo.
Yeah, coaching my kid in soccer, first and second grade. No keeping score, but they knew.
Oh, they all knew.
They all knew.
They all knew. My six-year-old played soccer for the first time, 3-on-3 on a tiny field with small pop-up goals. Her team was winning 23-0, and she kept calling out the score every time her team scored.
That's brutal.
Somebody raised their kid right.
21!
Oh, just man.
Licking her finger and putting it up. Another one on the board.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that was a little rough when our first six games, I think we scored a combined like 2 goals. But
In how many games?
Like the first six. It was a little rough. Then I scrapped my whole offensive philosophy and said, I pulled a Costanza and I said, let's do the opposite of what I think is best. And it worked.
Mm.
Game number 7, we tied, and game number 8, we won.
Jeff Russ living his life like George Costanza is the least surprising thing on the radio today. All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we? We've got a lot that we need to get to. The NFL coaching carousel is getting wild. We are really finding out why teams are so dysfunctional, and we have audio to help bring that point along today, and also some quotes from the Chicago Bears owners press conference. Goodness gracious. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Yep. There we are. And why the New York Jets will never figure it out. Also, which NFL teams in the playoffs have the most pressure heading in to the NFL's wild card weekend? But where we got to start this bad boy off? The Blazers fall in Detroit, but there might be some fallout looming. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
There were little balls on it. Balls.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Blazers knock off the Detroit Pistons 118-115. Yes, I said that correctly. I know they lost the game, but they knocked it off in the loss column because that was the Pistons now 18-18. Blazers fall to 12-23. Good little loss there for the Blazers.
Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah. And it was that game, it did not, that second half was not pretty.
No.
It
wasn't awful. It was just that the first 16 minutes of the game was so damn good. Through 16 minutes of action, they had 47 points on 65% shooting.
Yeah, all right. Way to go.
It was bonkers.
Anthony Simons had himself a night last night.
Yeah, I thought Ant and Shaden were both really solid. I mean, you get 17 assists between the two of them.
Yeah, last possession wasn't great, a little back and forth affair, but the reality of it was that the Pistons, I mean, they were up by, what, 5 in the final minute, and it was just kind of one of those back and forths where you're like, whatever. How many times do we see that going the way of the team that's down 5 in the final minute?
Yeah.
And it fizzles out. But, you know, Ant with the ball just kind of, I don't know,
Malik Beasley, Beasley got a fingertip to it, and it made it roll up on his wrist, and he just couldn't get it off.
Yep. Well, as it is, the Blazers lose 118 to 115. Ant with 36 points, and dude was red hot. What is he, 7 of 10 from the field in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, he had 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. But he had,
it was pretty good.
I want to say in the first, like, 5 minutes of the game, he had 6 points and 6 assists.
Oh, hey, not
like, I mean, everything was just cooking.
Yeah.
Like, Denny started out 4 of 4. Ant started out 3 of 3. Shaden started out 4 of 6. I think DA started out 4 of 6. I mean, when you start that hot, you're inevitably going to cool down. Like, it's just the average is always. I mean, the Blazers shot 53-46, but the difference in the game was they somehow only took 5 free throws to the Pistons' 22. Which is weird for a team in the Blazers who scored significantly more points in the paint.
Yeah, but that the kind of the flow of the game and the looks that they were getting, it kind of that kind of makes sense, right? It wasn't like they were getting a lot of contested. They were just getting good looks, I thought, for really the entirety of the game.
And again, I'm not blaming free throws or the officiating. I'm just saying it was a weird anomaly.
No, let's go ahead. Let's blame free throws.
5 to 22 is a pretty 17 free throw difference. It's a pretty significant number.
Yeah, Tumani Kamara, still love him. A little turnover issues going on as of late, but he's all over the floor, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, he is trying to do a little bit more, and I like that. And you're going to live with some of the mistakes. Last year, Chauncey had to reel him in because he got too far out of her skis. But if you look at what Tumani has done over like the last 2 weeks.
That game against Milwaukee,
he's averaging like awesome. 14 and 6.
Hey, all right.
Over the last 2 weeks. Like the thing that I've noticed is over the last couple of weeks, Ant finally looks like himself, which, and I think him looking like himself is allowing guys more space. It's allowing Shaden more room to drive. It's allowing space for Denny to drive and for Tumani to work as a back cutter. Chris Murray has looked the best of his career over the last 2 weeks. Like, I think their best offensive player looking like the best version of himself, or like the version of himself that we kind of expected.
Sure.
Has allowed everything else, all the other dominoes, to kind of fall into place. That's the 30,000-foot view. It's Ant's averaging over the last 10 games, 22, 7-3 on 48,
40, 90. Dang.
Yeah. And his last 5, he's averaging 29-8, I think, 29-7 on 50, 42, 92. Yeah, he's been on an absolute tear for the last, 10 days.
Well, I mean, there was some good that's coming out of it. And look, picking up a loss and seeing performances like the ones that you just have been outlining over the last couple of weeks, especially, Ant and Shaden Sharp last night, that was great to see. One thing that we did not see was Scoot Henderson, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember seeing him in the fourth quarter at all last night.
He might have gotten out there. Let me check the minutes real quick.
I
know they kept it short.
I don't think I saw him because
he did not.
Yeah. So because in the first half we saw a lot of him, and boy, it was not great that first half of action.
Now he played 12 minutes. He was 0-for-2 with
3 turnovers,
two assists and 3 turnovers, and was a -12. Like, if you want to talk about the point where, like, that group that went on the absolute tear, Denny was a +16, Ant was a +14, Shaden +11, Donovan +10. Like, that group was very good. When Scoot was out there, it was very bad.
Well, let's open the door to this conversation then, because it goes kind of hand in hand with what was posted on The Ringer just yesterday, where The Ringer posted a least improved players of the 2024-2025 season by Michael Pena. On that list are Tyrese Halliburton, Mike Connolly, Patrick Williams, Jonathan Kuminga, Jalen Green, and Scoot Henderson of the Portland Trail Blazers. And there is a, you want to talk about some critiques that are scathing. This one is a pretty damning one of Scoot Henderson. We'll dive into that after Rust with SportsCenter.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
The Portland Trailblazers' loss to the Pistons may have something looming a little bit larger. Scoot Henderson did not play in the fourth quarter, was minus 10 in his 12 minutes of action in the first half against Detroit. And that comes on the same day that The Ringer posted their least improved players of the 2024-2025 NBA season. Michael Pena did this. And Scoot Henderson, one of several players, including Mike Connolly, Tyrese Halliburton, Jonathan Kuminga, Jalen Green, who all were on this list. But Scoot Henderson's critique might be the most scathing of any of them on this least improved list.
Yeah, there's a thread you can pull from this article. Jonathan Kuminga, Jalen Green, Scoot Henderson.
Mm.
Oh. Where did they all come from?
The G League.
The Ignite. I have said it multiple times now. I think not only was it a problem, it has indeed a disservice to every single player.
Yeah. And guys like Mike Connolly, it's like, dude, father time undefeated. Tyrese Halliburton, that injury that he had in the playoffs last year or in the regular season.
The hamstring, yeah.
And then leaked into the playoffs, it still looks like it is affecting him. And then you have, you know, Scoot is on this list. And I'll just read the first paragraph because, boy, this one is scathing from Michael Pena. It's hard to be the most disappointing player in your draft class 2 years in a row, but despite expectations taking a downward turn after his abysmal rookie season, Henderson has somehow done it. He isn't worse per se, but it's hard to go lower when you're already in the basement. In his rookie season, Scoot committed more turnovers per 100 possessions than anybody else and had the lowest true shooting percentage among all qualified players. His jumper is still so broken that there was one play earlier this season in which he caught a pass with less than 2 seconds on the shot clock, and the nearest defender still decided to close out on his teammate.
And that's the thing here. For everybody who is clamoring for Scoot Henderson to play more minutes, and I have a rule, I don't kill rookies on their first contract, so I'm not out on Scoot. He has been disappointing. There's not a single metric you can point to and be like, hey, there's something here. Again, according to Cleaning the Glass, okay, his points per shot attempt, while improved, it has gone from the 9th percentile last year to the 16th percentile this year. His turnover rate, while improved league-wide, from the 5th percentile to the 14th percentile, he's gone from 17.5% turnover rate to 18.4. Okay? His shooting, he has gone from 7th percentile in the league in rim finishing to 14th percentile in the league. And again, low numbers here are bad.
Yeah.
His effective field goal percentage has gone from the 7th percentile to the 16th percentile. His three-point percentage has gone from the 20th percentile to the 18th percentile. For everybody's like, well, Scoot gets them organized and they do this. Look, man, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I do agree that he gets them organized. But if you're atrocious at the rim, you're atrocious as a three-point shooter, you're turning the ball over at a league-high rate, and you're like, well, you know, but the intrinsic little... Brother, find another place to sell it.
Yeah.
He has got... For him to get the minutes that you want, for all of the, like, get rid of Ant and give it to Scoot... He has got to earn it. Yep. If he puts 25, 30 games together where you start seeing things make a little bit more sense, sure, let's go down that path.
I think there's a point in here where I go, yes, this is kind of what I've seen watching Scoot, and it's one of those things where you go, man, is something ever going to click in this regard? Pina says he still thinks too much, doesn't seem to trust his own athleticism in spots where he absolutely should. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like when you watch Scoot, there are long stretches of the game where it doesn't feel like he has an idea of where he wants to go with the ball when he gets it in his hands, right?
Yeah.
And that's not, he doesn't trust the, whether it's trusting his athleticism or trusting the system in what they want to run conceptually on the floor. Like, it just doesn't seem like he has a lot of trust in himself or what they're trying to do.
The thing that, you know, I've mentioned this before. I've talked to a bunch of starting in Scoot's rookie year. The first probably 25, 30 games when a veteran point guards came to town, I sidled up with multiple all-stars and was like, hey, I'm kind of doing this like background research for Scoot. I just like, what are the things that you needed to learn as a rookie point guard? Like, what were the most important things? And to a man, it is understand your matchup, have a plan, be decisive. And those are the three things that Scoot Henderson does not show regularly. That is, to me, that is the more underlying issue than the shooting or the finishing. Like, it just doesn't look like he knows what he wants to do and when he wants to do it. Now, when he does show that, it looks better. I was talking to a scout when they were here on their last homestand, and I was asking him about Scoot. I go, what do you see with him? And he goes, beyond the skill stuff, he's just not precise. And I go, what do you mean by precise? He goes, watch his footwork when he drives. And I go, yeah, it's a problem. And he goes, that's the thing. Like, if you don't know how many steps it takes you to get to a certain spot, how can you have your feet underneath you? Like, when you drill this stuff, everybody wants to be like, oh, you're just hooping. Go watch James Harden, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard. Watch guards who their foot, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Do you think that's just him like freewheeling on the fly? Or has he repped that footwork a million times? And not just doing it to do it, it's precise. It's 1-2 here. It's the same thing over and over. Like, Ant and Dame is a good one. I don't like going to it because everybody hammers it. Look at their footwork. It is the same every single time. And it's like, you're starting to see Shaden tighten that up. And look at the results. It's getting better. The thing that stands out is that everything about Scoot needs to be tightened up. Everything about him, whether it's precision with his footwork, whether it's precision in his passing, precision with his finishing, it's the craft. And I think it all started with the Ignite. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it all started.
And I think being in the Ignite when he was, 17 years old?
Yeah, he's there for 2 years.
He was there for 2 years. Coming into the NBA when you are 19 years old, and look, I think people forget he is still 20, and he can shore up a lot.
Yes.
But at the same time, there is, in some of those numbers that you were reading off were improvements, right?
Yes.
But overall, from year one to year two, even those small improvements are a regression because of the fact that he has played, you know, what, 90 games
from 100 games, right? I think he's at 90 or 91. Yeah.
Those are considered a regression because the game should be slowing down, and it's not. Yeah. Some numbers are going backwards. We've seen some slight improvements.
And he's had more moments this year than he did all of last year combined.
But I think that those 2 years at 17 and 18 years old with the Ignite, coming into a situation where expectations were through the roof and were not helped by the fan base or the organization, if we're being quite honest, when you draft a guy third overall and you want, they told us that, you know, they were going to be asking a lot of Scoot Henderson as a foundational block of this team, and he wasn't ready for it. And,
and they started
we're seeing that he's not.
They started him last year. They gave him that opportunity, and he was one of the least productive players in the entire NBA. It was very bad. It was one of those things where it was so detrimental to the rest of the team that they could no longer start him.
And I think that, you know, as part of Pina's piece here, that where he's talking about the least improved players in the NBA, and his point on Scoot is that he's only been on the floor for 8 final buzzers this season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, last night he didn't play the fourth quarter because...
didn't play the entirety of the fourth quarter, let alone when the game ended.
Because he was so poor in that game. The line in this piece, and this is where I raise the eyebrows, because when I look at Scoot, and this is kind of what I try to explain to people, when like, why is Ant doing this, or why is DeAndre doing this, or like what the veteran stuff, right? And if he, this is from Pina, if he can't, he's just talking about Scoot here, and if he, Scoot, can't space the floor or be trusted with the ball in his hands, it'll be hard for Chauncey Billups to play him with other members of Portland's core, knowing their development will be affected by the strain Henderson's flaws put them through. You can't put Scoot Henderson out there with Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdia, and Donovan Klingon.
That's a problem.
Who's the shooter in that lineup? It's Shaden.
Shaden and then Denny.
Well, I was going to say Denny.
Yeah, but Shaden, like, and Denny.
But like, that's, those are the things Shaden that you're kind of wanting those guys to work on. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a guy who is already...
But Denny has been, he's been shooting really well.
Look, I love Denny. His flaw is that he's an inconsistent shooter.
Okay.
Like, that's a thing. Like,
fair enough.
Last year was his record year. I think he shot just over 37% as a three-point shooter. And that was because he shot incredibly well from the corners. He started off incredibly poor this year. But now you're starting to see him kind of work his way into it. And this is my whole thing with Scoot. If Scoot all of a sudden flips a switch and earns minutes, give him the minutes. I think when Chauncey was out and Nate Bjorkman closed the game with Chauncey, or closed the game with Chauncey, it's very easy to close a game with a Hall of Famer. They closed the game with Scoot Henderson. Everybody's like, see, it's Nate Bjorkman. It's like, no, it was Scoot was good. Mm-hmm. He was very good, and he got that opportunity. The very next game, he wasn't as good. Anthony Simons was better, and guess who closed the game? Anthony Simons. It's like, for Scoot, he is just... For everybody's like, well, he needs the opportunity. No, he needs to show that he can uplift himself and others. And if he does that, he will get the opportunity. Of that, I have no doubt.
Do we feel like there may be I mean, when do you pull the ripcord on it? Because of what you said, the most problematic thing that you see there is you can't put him on the floor with those foundational pieces that Portland is building with. I mean, is Scoot a guy that we see maybe... on another team?
I don't think it's anywhere near that with the organization. But post trade deadline, I do very much believe he is going to get a lot of room, and it might not be make or break, but
that's your time.
Like, you got 30 games, brother.
Yeah.
Time to show it. Otherwise, then you start raising eyebrows.
It's really interesting, though, that a lot of the things that you're talking about with the craft and all that stuff. And look, this is not unique to Scoot Henderson, because, as you mentioned, two of those other guys on this list are G League Ignite guys. The guys who went to the G League Ignite with the idea that they were going to learn how to be pros before getting to the pros all lack, seemingly,
the professional stuff,
the professionalism of what it takes to do the little things to become a great basketball player.
It's I mean, there's a reason why the Ignite folded.
Yep.
Look, and
it wasn't
working. And I'm not against those guys getting their money. Like, what the reason they did that, or because they did that, it accelerated NIL. It 100% accelerated NIL, because all of a sudden professional leagues were popping up as options for high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And the second that happened, it was like, oh, this is, there it's going to go.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, you can rejoice because your coach was just fired.
Thank the Lord.
I'm not talking about Chauncey Billups. There's a lot of people that are like, fire Chauncey. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Danny's favorite team's coach. Next on The Fan.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Las Vegas Raiders have fired Antonio Pierce after one season in the desert as the full-time head coach. 4-13. Here you go.
Bring me Ben Johnson.
Yeah, good luck with that. Now, 6 head coaching vacancies across the National Football League. And I think it's really interesting. You look at, we have Gerard Mayo, 1-done.
Yeah.
Antonio Pierce, 1-done.
And I've already seen people be like, well, Dan Campbell got, you know, an opportunity. And he, it's like, there's a difference. The Patriots and the Raiders were inept. Inept. And dysfunctional and broken and without a plan. Both organizations, it wasn't just they lacked talent. They weren't good or functional.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the Raiders' defense this year? Because Patriots defense isn't going to be awful.
No, the Raiders defense was okay, but they were also banged up. That's kind of like been the thing.
Well, they fire him after 1 year. Now we have the Jags looking for a head coach, the Saints, Bears, Jets, Patriots, Raiders. Those are your head coaching vacancies. And look, unfortunately for you, you said bring me Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Ben Johnson go to
Brock Bowers?
Brock Bowers.
That's the only reason.
With literally nobody to throw him the football.
That's the only reason he would go.
I mean, and this is like the really tough part is that like you look at these head coaching vacancies and the vacancies that are open, the young hot offensive mind is going to want to go to the team that has the guy behind center, right? And right now there's three teams that are head and shoulders above the rest of them. They are Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears, Drake May with the New England Patriots, and then you have Trevor Lawrence, I think, in Jacksonville. You're going to get somebody who's like, no, we can still do this. He's been riddled with injuries, has had a lot of different systems. We need to simplify it for this guy. We've got a really good young wide receiver in Brian Thomas. Like, we can do something in Jacksonville. I think those three, and then you look at the other three, the Jets with maybe an aging Aaron Rodgers, the Raiders with no quarterback,
none
to speak of.
I mean,
and then the Saints who are in salary cap hell. The Saints right now have 52 guys signed to next year's roster. Their cap space is -$72 million.
Yeah, dang.
-$72 million. Okay. Their actual cap space, that's the effective cap space. So that's essentially what they're working with. Their actual cap space is -$66 million for next year. Okay. That is one that one is dead last. Then you have probably the Raiders in their situation in what they're going through. Would you go Jets or Jags next?
Worst?
Yeah, the next worst.
Jets,
just because aging quarterback. Yeah. And but I mean, you have some pieces that are there.
I think Jags do too, but also their quarterback is
younger. Yeah. Then you're looking at the Patriots and the Bears, where I told you this during the break. The Patriots have 44 guys signed to next year's roster.
And then you told me how much cap space they had.
Their cap space is $127,694,000.
Holy crap.
With their effective cap space being $114 million. With 44 guys on,
which means they
signed.
Could go get Tyreek Hill and it wouldn't cause them to bat an eye.
Can I just rewind like 10 seconds and go back to the Jets and Woody Johnson?
Sure. Yeah.
You know that place is absolutely dysfunctional when he has to come out and say, no, my teenage son is not helping make decisions on the team.
It was teenage sons. Jack Johnson and Brick Johnson.
Yeah. Okay. God, that's just a couple of D-bag a-holes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Brick Johnson.
I mean, Woody,
yeah.
Brick, and Jack, and their last name is Johnson.
I mean, they know they're doing.
I feel like
with Jack, he missed the mark, and he should have named him Richard.
I mean,
yeah. But the Bears have got $60 million in effective cap space, $80 million overall that they can spend this year too, which they got money to burn, man. And so this is going to be the tough spot with Antonio Pierce and the Raiders firing their coaches. That one, you're behind the eight ball with everybody else lining up their interviews. Two, you don't have a quarterback, and that's the biggest issue with a lot of these teams right now, right? Unless you go and you say, we are going to hire Dion, and we are going to make sure that Shedeur Sanders goes nowhere but the Las Vegas Raiders, who they may have been 4-13, but as of right now, they're drafting sixth in the draft.
Which all of the draft projections right now have Cam Ward going number one.
Good luck, Tennessee.
I
like Cam Ward a lot, but
the highs of Cam Ward are very high. The lows are very low.
And it's not like one of those Josh Allen type things where it's like, well, Josh Allen just didn't perform well against, he couldn't beat the big teams that he played. Well, he was at Wyoming,
yeah,
right? Cam Ward was at Miami this year, and we still saw those dips. Were the dips as significant as they were when he was at Washington State? But no, Washington State was still a pretty talented team when he was there, too. I have
it was his defense that let him down at Miami.
Oh, boy.
But I'm looking.
Some of those throws where you're like, you're not going to get away with that in the NFL. No.
But he also makes some throws where you go,
that's big time.
That's a big time throw.
I like him a lot, but I don't know.
This is
not a great quarterback class.
Not even Raiders exceptionalism. This is the opposite of that. It is, I am talking myself into anything. If you're the Raiders, do you use the 37th overall pick on Jackson Dart?
You just go ripping darts in Vegas?
Like,
I love it, dude.
Because he's the third quarterback on the board.
Heck yeah.
He's the third quarterback on the board.
Let's go rip some darts, baby.
That's where they're at. It's Cam, it's Shador, then it's Jackson Dart.
This is Jackson Dart at the Spearmint Rhino.
Possibilities are endless.
I mean,
I think, like, a name like Jackson Dart, I mean, he's holding down the hold'em room at the Golden Nugget.
Oh,
right?
God.
Either that or he's at Excalibur hanging out in the lobby, then going to Moonlight at Thunder Down Under.
I mean, does he become the new Marlboro man?
Hell yeah. All right. Well, hey, I have some. Do you want to know the betting odds on all the other coaching positions? Because I have those.
Oh,
yeah. We can get into those.
Let's get into those.
Okay. We'll do that to kick off hour number two. And we also, in hour number two, we've got our worst day on the web and which team has the most pressure heading into the NFL playoffs. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.